Welcome to the Sharp 600, brought to you by Covers.com. I'm Rob Cressy, and I'm super excited to be jamming with you. Joining me to help you get ready for NFL Week 3 action is Ed Feng, founder of The Power Rank. But first, it was another fantastic week for the podcast. Let's do a quick recap, plus get you our Week 3 picks. So the first stats are coming to you from my man, Jason Logan. You can follow him on Twitter at CoversJLo. Here's what the market looked like. In week two, favorites went 7-9 against the spread. Totals 11-5 for the over. Congratulations to all you over bettors. Looking at the season, favorites 16-16 against the spread. For the totals, 20-12 to the over. So the over bettors, it's been a good year so far. Starting with our big Mick bet of the week, we went to 2-0. Yeah, baby. As we hit again with the 49ers, Titans, and Chiefs, we had to sweat the Titans a little bit. They were in control the entire game. Jacksonville made it close. 49ers was a steamroll. And then the Chiefs, we hung on by our chinny chin chin, just like everybody else in the sports betting world who just needed the Chiefs in some capacity for a teaser or a money line parlay. But nonetheless, we got the victory. Up next, pick a loser. We correctly picked the Washington football team. This was an easy win from the start, as we've liked the Arizona Cardinals and Kyler Murray. Our only blemish of the weekend, the get comfortable being uncomfortable bet of the Detroit Lions. And here's the thing. The Lions started out with a 14-3 lead. And I'm like, all right, let's go Detroit. But they promptly crapped the bed, and this was actually a great opportunity for those of you who do live betting, who see Green Bay down 14-3 at home. Boom. These are the live betting opportunities that do exist. So looking forward to week three, we have 11 teams who are 0-2, and I wanted to make sure that I emphasized this, because so often we talk about the teams who are doing amazing, but there are equal opportunities to bet for or against the teams at the bottom. So here are the 11 teams who are 0-2 currently. The Dolphins, Jets, Bengals, Texans, Broncos, Giants, Eagles, Lions, Vikings, Falcons, and Panthers. So I want you to ask yourself, how do you feel about these teams? Would you bet on any of them? Do you expect that all of them or any of them will continue to be terrible, or will some of them find a way to bounce back from this? Because in week three, there is an opportunity for some of these teams who see their season slipping away. And while we may have seen some terrible performances in the first 2 weeks, this can be a throw the kitchen sink at everything type of week for these teams. Something I want you to consider, because it's not often comfortable to bet on these teams who have losing records and or who have looked terrible. This is actually a great segue to my week three bets. And let's start with my get comfortable being uncomfortable bet of the week. Why do we do this? Because we want to get comfortable taking teams that are gross and nasty, because they do win. And we're going to head to Denver. Give me the Broncos +6 at home, taking on Tampa. Yes, the Broncos just lost Drew Lock and Cortland Sutton due to injury. But I watched that entire game against Pittsburgh, and Jeff Driscoll was more than competent. And I think he was last year as well. And it's very easy to jump on and say, oh, backup quarterback Jeff Driscoll, let's make fun of him. But the fact of the matter is, the Broncos were in that game, and the Steelers had to get a fourth down stop to seal that game. Also, of positions that the Denver Broncos have depth in, what is one of them? Wide receiver, albeit young, but they invested heavily in Jerry Jeudy and KJ Hamler. So there is opportunity for some young guys to step in and get some run. I'm also a big fan of Noah Fant. You know what? I haven't exactly loved what I've seen so far out of Tampa. Do I feel comfortable taking a backup QB, taking on Tom Brady, and having to win by less than a touchdown? No, I don't feel comfortable. However, there is one 0-2 team that is 2-0 against the spread. And you know who that is? The Denver Broncos. So give me the Broncos +6 is my get comfortable, being uncomfortable bet of the week. Moving things over to the Big Mick Moneyline Parlay of the week.
I see they got the Big Mac. I got the Big Mick.
And this is something that I actually struggled with because there was a lot of spreads in the 3, 4, 5, 5.5, and 6 range. And I can see either team actually winning the games. And the goal of this bet is to produce a winning bet. And this week, I'm going to give a 2-team money line parlay. Give me the Patriots -275 taking on the Raiders and the Colts -480 taking on the Jets. The odds payout -155, a $10 bet gets out $16.58. And for me, it's simple. Patriots at home, I believe in them more than I do the Raiders. I don't exactly feel comfortable betting on the Colts, but the Jets are terrible. So let's throw that in there. I'm looking forward to other weeks. Let's just get a victory and move on here. The last one, let's go to the pick a loser.
Oh, what a loser.
Because we want to train our minds to think differently about evaluating games. And you know what I'm doing? My loser of the week is the Cleveland Browns laying 7, taking on the Washington football team. And I'm actually really hoping that this line moves to 7.5 because the Browns at more than a touchdown. Because ask yourself this. I want you to say this out loud. I am trusting the Cleveland Browns to win by at least a touchdown. You know how often in our lifetime that has been something that someone uttered and said, man, I feel fantastic about this. 0 times in the history of the world does anybody say that and feel good about it. Because you know what? That doesn't happen. If I get an opportunity to bet against the Browns when they're touchdown favorites, that is exactly what I'm going to do. And oh, by the way, the Cleveland Browns are 0-2 against the spread on the season. When you're placing bets this weekend, I would love to hear from you. Do you have a Big Mick Moneyline Parlay of the week? Do you have a pick a loser or a get comfortable being uncomfortable bet? You can hit me up on Twitter at Rob Cressy and let me know. Woo! One last thing that I want to mention is about live betting, because there are so many opportunities around it. And someone hit me up on Twitter and asked me a question that said, Rob, what do you look for when you're evaluating live betting games? Do I have a number or a team in mind before things happen? So the first thing that I look for is favorites who get down early to see if I can get a better number. And I was able to do this successfully twice in week 2. I did this with the Chiefs taking on the Chargers. They were down 7-0, and I looked at it, but the line only moved to Chiefs -5.5, which I didn't exactly like, or I wasn't in love with. I kept sitting on it, waiting for a better opportunity. And when the Chargers went up 14-6 and had the ball, the line moved to Chiefs -2.5. And I was like, boom, this is a great opportunity here. I already had the Chiefs in my Big Mick Moneyline Parlay. I needed it to win that bet. So I said, you know what? I don't want any hanky-panky with the way this game's going already. Chargers defense looks good. Give me the Chiefs money line at -157. And you know what? That ended up working out as a winning bet. The second thing I do is I wait and see if I can get points with a favorite. This is something that takes both patience and timing. So I did this with the Dallas Cowboys, who were down 20-0 against the Falcons. And up until that point, it was an absolute train wreck for the Cowboys. And it was literally the best case scenario for the Atlanta Falcons. And the line that I got it at was the Cowboys +13.5. And I was like, sign me up for this. Because if there is one thing that I know that is on brand for the Atlanta Falcons, it is blowing leads. And that is promptly what they did. And really, I saw this as something that was extremely opportunistic. All we've got to win is slightly less than 53% of our bets. And you're telling me I get the Cowboys at home getting 13.5 points when they're down 20-0. So really, all they had to do is score a touchdown, and I was in the money. And guess what? Not only did they cover, they came back to win straight up. So this is a great opportunity, or way that I think about things is sometimes you really want to work on getting plus money on a team that is favorite. I will say that I find that I'm rarely on underdogs who get down. The reason for that is there's too much of an opportunity for blowout potential. So usually I'm playing favorites when I'm looking at live betting. I also look at instances in which there are close teams. So for example, Patriots and Seahawks. I was following that Sunday Night Football live action, and the Seahawks got down early and the line moved to Seahawks plus 2.5. The challenge is I didn't exactly feel comfortable in picking one of those two teams. However, the Seahawks did come back to win. So the last bit of advice I would say is this week we've got a lot of games that either team could win. Look and see who scores first, and is there an opportunity for you to get a better number on either the favorite or the underdog? Because in close games, that's where you're going to see a ton of value. And I'm curious to hear from you. Are you doing live betting much? And if so, what is your strategy? You can hit me up at Rob Cressy on Twitter.
Hold up.
You spoke, they listened. The new Covers Experts experience is here. Covers recently made some great enhancements to their handicapper platform, including a new interactive leaderboard, faster page speeds, improved navigation, PayPal and guest checkouts are now available, all delivered through a consistent experience across all devices. To celebrate these improvements, they have a limited time offer to share. Get $50 in free Covers Experts credit using promo code NEWEXPERTS50. This offer expires on September 30th, so purchase today. Winning starts here at Covers Experts.
Great cash, homie.
And joining me to get you ready for NFL Week 3 action is Ed Fang, founder of The Power Rank. You can follow him on Twitter at The Power Rank. Ed, great to have you on the show.
Rob, thanks so much for having me on. Excited to talk about some NFL.
So what I want to start with is the concept of using data instead of emotion. I think one of the biggest areas where sports bettors get into trouble is we're very emotional, whether it's our own team, whether it's what we watched last week, whether it's having vested fantasy football interests, or oftentimes recency bias. We let a variety of different factors get in the way, sometimes good, sometimes bad. But you're someone who, among other things, data is a big part of what you do. So can you talk about the data side of things and how you use that to make more informed decisions with sports betting?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, first, I'll start by saying that emotion still plays a role in, you know, my sports betting. I'm not a robot. I hate to lose. I also believe that you can't only use data to bet on the NFL. You need to understand the context of the teams. You need to understand when your models are wrong. I try to do that in some of the content that I provide for members of on my site. But yeah, so, but at the Power Rank, like we're, it's a data-driven site, right? And so it got started a long time ago when I was just like, well, how can I do some NFL predictions? And one of the simplest ways was to just look at the game results, or basically the margin of victory in every game, and adjust for who these teams had played to make some predictions. And it turned out my math background was pretty good for that. And so that was pretty good about a decade ago, but you would get killed using something like that now as things shift and evolve. And now, you know, there's a lot of different tricks I use preseason, during the season. But the idea is like, you know, we're using data to make kind of, you know, to make an objective opinion of what this line should be. And so, and we'll talk about specific games, but Once you have that objective baseline, then you can start adding on other factors, right? So, you know, if my objective baseline says to pick San Francisco this week, well, maybe I want to stop and be like, okay, well, half their defense is hurt, especially their stars. Let's adjust for that. Let's make sure that we have accounted for factors that the model does not consider.
So one thing I think that's interesting is I'm someone who's a student of the game. I always want to be learning, but I'm also someone who does not have my own model. So I am more likely to be a subscriber for what you do than I am to create my own model. And do you think that is the way that the majority of people should go? As in, you've got a math background. Is this something where you're uniquely suited to create your own model as opposed to the everyday sports bettor? How should they be thinking about this?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, my goal, and I'm not quite there yet, but my goal is that I do all the data and math that a sports bettor will need. And yeah, I think that would be a great relationship. You know, and from my perspective, like, you know, it's better for me in week one or to be like working on my model and figuring out better ways to incorporate. So one, for example, like I've incorporated spreads in week one and two into my model for week three now. So that's something I didn't have a year ago. That's something I think is helping my model. It's better for me to spend my time doing that than to bet an extra game, you know, handicapping an extra game, for instance. So yeah, I hope to provide a service where you know, you can, if you need something, if you need some kind of objective baseline, if you need something about like how do we better predict turnovers, predict interceptions in particular, I can do that work for you in the off season. And members of my site get access to that. And you know, of course, this is not the only thing you need to bet on the NFL. You want to consider other things as well. But I can definitely provide that objective baseline for you.
So before we get to specific games, I want to do a quick little rapid fire of a few teams and get your thoughts on them on a high end or a low end. This is almost like a who's legit and who's not. So let's start with the Green Bay Packers. Wins over the Vikings and the Lions. Both teams are winless, and it's very easy to fall in love with the narrative of Aaron Rodgers is back.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, I thought he looked particularly good week one against Minnesota. I definitely saw some really bad throws against the Lions, but of course he was playing the Lions. I'm going to be cautious about the Packers. I think they're a team that went 13-3 last year. I think it was 9-1 in one score games, which is a record that we usually regresses to the mean from season to season. So I think we've seen good things from them. I think they have a defense that at their best can be a top 10 unit. And but I'm not buying yet on the Packers, especially because of the strength of schedule component. I mean, they haven't played anyone that that you're so far that you get excited about that division. I think the division in general looks pretty bad, and so when they go to New Orleans, it's going to be a much better test.
All right, let's go to a team who is arguably the most disappointing team in all of football, that the Packers beat, the Minnesota Vikings. Losses over the Packers and Titans, two playoff teams. So here's an instance in which, hey, those aren't bad losses except for the fact of how they had those losses. I'm not the Titans. The Colts was the other one that the Vikings lost to. So they've had defensive struggles, 26th in DVOA, and just lost their linebacker, four-time Pro Bowler Anthony Barr, to injury, so that is certainly not going to help things. Looking at the Vikings, they're a team that I would want them to be one of the ones that could bounce back from it. So what are your thoughts on this?
I agree with you. I think these are one of the teams that you would like to bounce back. Like, it's a team that you want to find value with later because they've had such a bad start, small sample size. I think Kirk Cousins is a serviceable quarterback. He's not really in the best situation, having lost Diggs as one of his best receivers this year. And you know, they kind of gutted their secondary, you know, the corners, and they're going with a lot of young guys there as well. So yeah, I'm with you. I really want to find value on Minnesota going forward, betting on Kirk Cousins, basically because the number is bad in the markets. That's not the case this week. I think it's the Titans are a 2.5 point favorite. My number was pretty close to that. So my model says this is not the week to do that.
Yeah, and people love to hate on Kirk Cousins. So for me, I see opportunity, if nothing else, for that reason. So let's go to the Chicago Bears. I live in Chicago, and we got Maserati Mitch. They've got wins over the winless Lions and the winless Giants, two of arguably the worst teams, but they could have lost either of those games. And I don't think a lot of people believe in this Bears team. So is this for real? Is this somewhere in between? Where are you at?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not very high on Mitch Trubisky. Just loved Bears under 9 wins last year, where basically every number said regression to the mean. I think the markets are more accurate on this team now. They're not putting them in like a playoff caliber team. They're putting them right in that fat middle of the NFL. I think that's where they belong until, you know, Trubisky's so bad that he pulls them down into the bottom five. I think they're a pretty average team, and we'll see where the market values them or how they get priced.
I think the hottest team right now is the Arizona Cardinals because of Kyler Murray. He looks like a legit MVP candidate. The defense is better, and oh, what trading for DeAndre Hopkins can do for an already explosive offense. They're a team that we've been on the first 2 weeks, and it looks like they have the opportunity to keep this going. Should we buy into this in a tough division, but they look like a team that could make the playoffs?
Yeah, they should. I mean, I think the making the playoff question is more related to what else is going on in that division. Seattle's defense looks awful. Niners have a lot of injuries. Rams look pretty good, but is that a mirage? I think that's a big question for me right now, what's going on with the Rams. But, you know, Arizona hasn't moved too much off of my preseason prior right now, so I'm not too high on them at this point, but we'll see going forward.
Let's look at the Las Vegas Raiders. They're 2-0, wins over the Panthers, but the Saints. So a little of everything. And the Raiders are a team that I have a hard time trusting because they're traditionally not disciplined. They do things a little bit different. They're also a little bit of a shinier object because of John Gruden, and everyone wants to talk about them for some reason. I'm not the biggest believer in them as a whole, but that doesn't mean that they couldn't be a 500 team.
Yeah, for sure. I'm actually kind of a believer in this Raiders team. Let me tell you why. You turn on that game Monday night, and they're moving the ball consistently against what we think is a very good New Orleans defense, a Super Bowl caliber defensive of team, a team that has gotten it done over the last couple of seasons. And, their success rate, one of the key metrics I look at is success rate. So a success on a play is 50% of the yards on first down, 70% on second down, and then obviously all on third and fourth down. And when you look at their passing success rate, I think it was something insane. I think it was like 58% in that game against New Orleans, which is significantly higher than the 47% that you see as the NFL average. But in some sense, that shouldn't come as a surprise, because when you look at success rate last year in their passing offense and you adjust for who they played, my numbers had them fourth in the NFL. So, yeah, Derek Carr doesn't throw down the field that much. And, yeah, it's kind of rink and dink and dunk. But Carr has been good at completing passes, high completion percentage under Gruden, high success rate, getting it done that way. So I'm actually more high than others because of the pass offense that John Gruden and Derek Carr have put together.
All right, let's go to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. 1-1, lose to the Saints, beat the Panthers. I don't think they've been overly impressive, but I do also believe there's an element of ramp up that has to be expected with a new quarterback here. We, of course, know there's going to be a little built-in juice because of Tom Brady. People are going to believe that he can do anything. So what are you seeing or believing in Tampa right now?
Yeah, I think in general, I'm trying to fade Tampa. I think Tom Brady is 43 years old. I know exactly what it's like to be 43 years old. It does not make me want to go out on a football field and, get into it with the younger guys out there. We don't really have, player aging curves out that high. We just kind of don't know what to suspect. And, Tom Brady over the last couple years has been incredible at preventing turnovers, interceptions. And he's been really good at that, but now he goes into Bruce Arians' offense where that's not going to be the case, right? Bruce Arians wants to air it out. He wants to take risks downfield. How is that going to mesh? We saw Brady throw a couple picks in the first game. I didn't think that was on Arians. I thought those were on Brady. I thought they were bad throws. obviously got the job done this week against Carolina. And I don't know. I would say I'm a little doubtful about Tampa Bay. I don't really love their defense. I'm not sure Brady is going to be elite at his age, even with the weapons that he has. So I'm trying to fade them.
I am with you from the very beginning. I wanted to fade Tampa just because I believe that because he is at certain age, there's more of a regression to the mean, even if he's the greatest player that we've ever seen in our life. Plus, Tampa is undisciplined. So you're seeing this. The Tom Brady Patriots is used to not these fumbles out of nowhere and these holding penalties that bring back first downs. Now, all of a sudden, Tampa's just loosey-goosey and is like, what's going on here? So there's two games that we're going to jam about that are two profile teams that I think are very polarizing at the moment. And let's talk about the Philadelphia Eagles. They are currently sitting at 0-2, losses against the Washington football team in the Rams. They're at home laying 5, taking on the Bengals. And I know a lot of people were on the Eagles last week. They got Miles Sanders back. They are a little bit healthier. So the first week/week and a half, injuries were an issue right there. We've seen some inconsistencies out of the team. People are really starting to question Carson Wentz. You hear a lot of this guy's amazing, as well as this guy isn't living up to it. And in comes the Bengals, a team led by rookie quarterback Joe Burrow, who's going to have a learning curve right here. I'm curious, first, your thoughts on the Eagles as a whole.
Yeah, so one thing I did this offseason was look into how to predict interceptions. And it's been traditionally a hard problem. This has to deal with Carson Wentz. So I want to take a little bit of a detour. But so to predict interceptions, you can't just look at what a player's interception rate has been previously. So Carson Wentz has been one of the best at preventing interceptions over the past 3 years. What the research says is that doesn't really predict what's going to happen going forward. What I found is to predict what happens going forward, you need to not only consider interceptions, but you need to consider passes defended as well. So basically anytime the defense gets a hand on the ball, whether that's at the line, whether that's a defender getting a hand in there, or whether it's a defender hitting a receiver to jar the ball loose. So when you look at picks plus passes defended, I call those bad balls. Anytime a quarterback tends to put balls, a lot of bad balls, you're going to start seeing picks. And that's what we saw with Carson Wentz. Like, his bad ball rate was very close to NFL average. It did not suggest that he would be able to sustain an incredibly low interception rate going forward. So I had Eagles under 9.5 wins before the season, largely because I thought Wentz was going to regress. Wentz has been terrible through 2 games. He's thrown 4 picks. He's become Jameis Winston in a 2-game sample here. And now I'm in this kind of position where, like, well, he's not going to continue to throw picks at 5%, right? You know, he's not going to be the most accurate passer, but he's on the kind of the bad side of luck with interceptions now. It's not like I'm in love with this Philly team, but my model does like them this week. Again, Cincy, part of the reason there is because as impressed as people have been with Joe Burrow, Cincinnati is last in the league when you look at yards per pass attempt. So they are, you know, they're not going deep much at all. They're dinking and dunking, and they're being reasonably successful with that. But that's not really a formula long term for scoring a lot of points. So I think that's a super interesting game. It's the second week in a row in which a team has a must win against Cleveland. Against Cincy. So it was Cleveland last week on a Thursday night. I don't know what the Cleveland Browns were going to do if they did not win that game. They came out. They look great. Okay, fine. We still believe in Baker Mayfield and that team. Eagles are in the same spot right now. They're 0-2. They get a home game against a rookie quarterback. And I like them. I'll take the points. I'll take Philly in that game.
I really like that I get to learn stuff on this podcast as the host. And bad ball rate is something that is new to me. I'm curious if there's another metric or any other metrics that you may look at that we may overlook. So for example, one thing I heard this week from Mike Lombardi that he really likes to look at is the number of third downs that a team has, because he had mentioned that the more third downs you have, the fewer explosive plays. So a team like Kansas City may be playing on 2 downs instead of 3 downs. And I was like, boom, let's file that in the back of my head for how I'm evaluating things. Is there something else that you consider that we might not be thinking about?
Well, I mean, the main things really are this bad ball rate looking forward. And, you know, Carson Wentz is a big example. just another example, Deshaun Watson, incredible bad ball rate, but kind of league average interception rate. So that's kind of another prediction, someone who could potentially do a lot better than he has in the turnover department. And then the other thing is the success rate that I've talked to you earlier. You know, there's a lot of work. Sorry, there's not a lot of work. There's some hidden work out there that shows that explosive plays tend to be more random than you think. So just because you had a lot of explosive plays during the first half of the season, that doesn't necessarily predict that you're going to be more explosive the remainder of the season. There's an element of randomness there. And what that says is like the statistic that you should look at more to project forward is the success rate. Just how often can you get, can you keep moving the sticks ahead, whether that's on first down or second down. And this is certainly not to say that you don't want explosive plays. You do. I think I was just criticizing the Bengals for that with their rookie quarterback. You do want to have big plays, but when you talk about stats that you want to use looking forward, I've really changed a lot of my analysis to look at yards per play to change that to success rate.
So I saw something today talking about Drew Brees and air yards or a lack thereof, where since 2016, he has been at the bottom or near the bottom in terms of that. So they're saying, hey, Drew Brees is not throwing these 50-yard bombs. So how would we relate all of this to success rate is? Because what I believe that the Saints aren't going to have as many explosive plays because Drew Brees is not throwing the ball as further down the field as Patrick Mahomes or Lamar Jackson might.
Yeah, I mean, I think what Brees needs to do is he needs to be extra efficient, right? Like, he can't miss any throws if you have, you know, the average air yards that he's having. And you've seen him put up these incredible completion percentages over the last couple of years. If he can continue to do that, I still think New Orleans is a Super Bowl contender. But if he can't, like, if his efficiency drops off a little bit, that's going to hurt them even more. I think that's going to hurt them because he doesn't really have the arm strength that he used to. He's not, you know, he's not going to be able to make big plays like the Mahomes and the Watsons of the world will.
One of my favorite games in the last game that we're going to talk about is the Buffalo Bills, 2-point favorites at home, taking on the Rams. And these are probably two of the best teams this year. My wife is from Buffalo, part of Bills Mafia, so I've watched every Bills game, and Josh Allen is almost like a different quarterback right now from a completion percentage. He threw for 300 yards and then I believe 400 yards last week. The fumbling's a slight issue when he's running, but he brought that back a little bit last week. You've got the Rams, who have been firing on all cylinders. They're a team that early on in the season, when everything's healthy and depth isn't an issue, they're going to be looking good. They were just in the Super Bowl 2 years ago, so we certainly know this is a team that can be very good, that a lot of people may have written off in the division, instead looked at the 49ers or the Seahawks. I'm curious on your thoughts on this game.
Yeah, I mean, I like the Rams in this game. When you kind of look at these, let's just step back, right? I mean, which team has the better defense? You know, we had a lot of we thought the Rams defense might fall off this year. They lost a lot of guys, Dante Fowler, Marcus Peters, and they got rid of Wade Phillips. They didn't bring the coordinator back, who's had a long track record of success. You know, in a small sample size, you know, it seems like their defense has done pretty well. Did pretty well against the Dallas team that we know to be pretty explosive, and did fine against the Eagles last week. So, you know, I think Buffalo might have a slightly better defense, a lot of talent in the secondary there. But when you look on the other side of the ball, like, I'm just in favor of Jared Goff plus Sean McVay over Josh Allen. Josh Allen is not a quarterback that excites me. When you look at their numbers last year, they were 26th. When you look at success rate on passing downs adjusted for who you played, that normally isn't going to get it done. Obviously, Allen makes a lot of plays with his legs, and you have to consider that as well. But his accuracy is always going to be an issue, and I think it's something that can strike them at any point. I don't think Goff is a top five quarterback by any means. I think he's kind of near, you know, at his best, he's going to be like 6th through 15th. But he has a good system, and McVay knows how to make easy throws for him. And I just think that gives them the edge. I think these teams are really, really close. My numbers think these teams are really, really close. When you put Buffalo at home, I'm using about 1 point as home advantage this year with the sparser crowds. I like the Rams plus the points. It's 2.5 in most books right now, and we'll see which way it goes.
And for me, this is a game that could be ripe for live betting. Why? Because if either team scores first, goes up 7-0, we can see either one of them flip from favorite to underdog very quickly. And that's something that I've been looking to be very opportunistic on. And I agree with you. I see both of these teams as very close. For me, it's going to be a stay away until I start seeing the game and see if any opportunities present itself. Ed, really enjoyed jamming with you today. Where can everybody connect with you?
Yeah, I'm at my site is thepowerrank.com. Probably the best way to get a sample of what I do is through my free email newsletter. I give a sample of my best predictions, usually saved for paying members of the site. A little bit of analysis as well. It goes out Thursday at noon Eastern. So you can check that out at thepowerrank.com.
And I want to hear from you. What is on your NFL Week 3 card? Do you have a Moneyline Parlay of a Week? Do you have a Pick a Loser? Or do you have a Get Comfortable Being Uncomfortable Bet of the Week? You can hit me up on Twitter at Rob Cressy. Make sure to use hashtag Sharp600 and be part of our community. And also make sure to tag at Covers. And I want to say thank you to everybody who subscribes to this podcast and is part of our community. When you subscribe and rate and review on iTunes, it helps us out so much. And when you do, I will give you a shout out on the show. And remember, if you want to be a sharp, don't be a square with your bankroll. Be disciplined with your money management. The funkadelic devil hit you with the rap level of 10. The 1, 2, 3, your pen. I get action. So everybody jump with your rump. If you like the way the sound pump, pump it in your back trunk. And let loose with the juice when I do rock. I'm too hot. Some say I got more juice than Tupac.